560 KXNO. Ken Miller, Trent Condon. They are Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
All right, good morning, everybody, and welcome to a Monday here on the Miller and Condon radio program. It's 10 to noon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO, and glad you've elected to spend some of your morning with us. Hawkeye fans reacting, well, it's to be expected, the Xavier Foster news, at least for some of them. Who tweeted this one? Barstool? No, I can't remember. Wide right Natty Light found a Hawkeye fan that was none too pleased with Xavier Foster's choice and went to Twitter to vent, and boy, did he ever. Anyways, that's not the main focus of the program, at least his tweet. We will get into Xavier Foster. It's a loss for Iowa is what it is, but I think when I say that, I mean that Fran McCaffrey really needed him. He didn't get him. Xavier Foster is going to play in Ames. We'll get into that. Obviously, a ton of football to recap. Both of the locals fall over the weekend. Both close football games. Both of them with plays, perhaps, certainly in Iowa's case to tie it and in Iowa State's case to win it. It was a great weekend, Trent. I mean, look, they didn't go either of the two locals' ways, but as Switzerland, I enjoyed the heck out of them.
It was very good. It was an entertaining weekend of football here, both on the local front and on the national scene, both college and NFL. Yesterday, underdogs all over the place, knocking people out of their eliminator pools. If you have the Saints and you held on to them late.
Oh, that would have been the big
That ball. One certainly was one that went the wrong way. Just a great weekend of football, unless you had a rooting interest for things, certainly with Iowa and Iowa State. Where do we start first? You want to go Hawks? You want to go Clones?
Well, let's do Xavier Foster, then Iowa football, because I like, you know, let's do Iowa State first, both of them, because we've got Dylan Montz at the bottom of the hour on the BMW of Des Moines guest list. So maybe we should talk Hawks into that before we break and get Dylan in here. 11 o'clock, Bama Bob will join us. 11:30, Scott Dockerman from The Athletic makes his way back into the program. So just the Xavier Foster news. Apparently he was asked, I think it was Rob Howe. He was the one I saw him tweet this, so I'll give him credit. Apparently Foster has grown very, very close with a number of current Cyclones on the roster, and that apparently played a big role in his decision to, go to class in Ames.
Oh, it makes a lot of sense, and what Iowa State has been able to do here, I think both places certainly fit what he does as a player. I want to talk about him. I've called a number of his games throughout the years, and I think there's maybe some misconceptions about what he is as a player. He is a top 75 player nationally. He's incredibly
57,
talented.
57, I thought I saw one.
Yeah, and there's, yeah, different services have him anywhere from, I think I've seen as high as, 57. Somewhere else was like 68, something like that. But regardless, he's a top 75 player nationally. Really good. But he's not a guy that's going to walk in day one and dominate. Even as a player this highly ranked, this is not a player that's going to jump out there and put up 16 and 10 every night. That's not who he is. What he's going to be able to do, though, first of all, is his defensive ability.
Well, rim protector, and they need that in the worst way.
He is a shot blocker. Yep. He is very good. He understands the game very well. There's going to be growing pains, no doubt. He's not a thick guy by any means, but elite athleticism. He can step out and shoot the basketball very well. And at times, does he maybe float a little bit too much? Yeah, I think you can say that.
Is that competition, maybe?
Not so much, because at the 3A level, remember who he'd been playing with the last couple of years, Cole Henry, who's now at Northern Iowa, who was more of a traditional post. He was the 6'9 guy that would stand on the block and get the ball there. And though Henry was a good player that could step out too, that at times allowed Xavier Foster to play more on the perimeter. He is not a traditional big man. He's not get the ball to him on the block. He's going to drop step and lay it in. That's not who he is. There's a lot more versatility to his game.
Do you like his defensive game better than his offense at this point?
Yeah. I think he's going to be, early in his career, more of an impactful player on that end of the floor than he will be as a scorer, as a guy that can do that, because right away he's going to be able to come in and, I think, be effective on the defensive
end.
Well,
sign me up for that, because Iowa State needs that.
Yeah, absolutely. Solomon Young's a solid defender, but not a great shot blocker by any means. Same thing, Michael Jacobson, he's a great rebounder. Mm-hmm. He's a solid offensive player, but again, not a elite jump out of the building, swat one into the fifth row. That's not what you're seeing out of either of those guys, the big guys that Iowa State currently has. it works out really well. And this Iowa State class that's coming together, they're going to be really good. The young, we've already seen Trey Jackson. He's impressed early on. Just the wheels keep rolling with Iowa State basketball. They're in good shape.
How big of a blow is this to McCaffrey? Because I thought he really needed him to finish this recruiting class. Look, he's got some guys. There's not a lot of big-time offers in there, if any. He clearly would have been the prize of this recruiting class. He didn't get him. He's going to Ames. How big of a loss is it to Iowa? Because honestly, when I looked at it, Trent, I thought it would be more of a loss if Iowa didn't get him for that very reason.
I think you're exactly right. And now what happens going forward here, they do have 2 days before the signing period begins for basketball. That'll be on Wednesday. You know, do they pick up? There's a couple of big names that are still out there that Iowa's been fighting for, but I think it was a lot of a wait-and-see mode. Do we get Xavier Foster and then go full forward with these guys? That's going to be something. If it ends up on Wednesday that Iowa signs four guys, none of whom have a power conference offer. I think one of them had an offer from DePaul. We talked about DePaul as Iowa plays them tonight. Has had what?
And who's got
has
that
had a
game?
Winning season in 12 years.
Yeah, it's been a while. Who's got that game tonight?
Fox Sports 1. 219 on your DirecTV.
Okay. At 7 o'clock.
Had a DePaul offer. Tony Jenkins, they beat out Mac Schools for. And the Murray Twins from Cedar Rapids, who are now at prep school down in Florida, they beat out Mankato State in Western Illinois. That's going to frustrate the
Sure.
names.
Sure.
You can say in Fran, I trust. He has found these under-the-radar guys before, and it's worked out very well. But when you bring a recruiting class of four guys and none of them have an offer from a Big Ten, Big 12,
yeah, it would have made ACC. It would have been a lot easier to look the other way had Xavier Foster been a part
yes.
of this class. I agree.
If you're beating out some other teams for some of these players, that's not the case here. There's going to be frustration. And the other part that's frustrating, I think, from the Iowa perspective, they are closer, certainly, to Oskaloosa. He has family ties to the University of Iowa.
I think his last visit was Iowa, was
their
it not?
The first offer that he received was from Iowa. Fran has been recruiting him the longest, and this coaching staff. All those kind of dominoes that normally are there, Iowa checked him off the list. What more he can do? Iowa State's shown better ability to put guys in the league. That's where he wants to go, and now he's going to be getting his mail for the next few years up in Ames.
All right, let's move to football, Trent. And look, both of the locals, they were good games. You know, the Iowa State comeback, I think that Matt Campbell absolutely did the right thing going for two. I'm surprised there's as much blowback as there is. I know it didn't work, so perhaps that's
the reason. That
has to be the reason, because it was the right move. You know what I also thought was the right move? Iowa going for two and putting the ball in Nate Stanley's hand. Look, if the ump, and I get that's where the umpire is going to be, but if Mekhi Sargent is able to lay a block on Orr, who was clearly coming through that gap, and Chris Orr was the first contact for Nate Stanley, and my good God, what
that
a collision
contact.
That was contact in a big way. But if Sargent even gets a little piece of him, it's 24-24. I'm convinced of that.
Here's my perspective on it. They score there, and people are upset about the play call. Look, Brian Ferentz is still yet to figure out a two-point conversion. He's 0 for his career as a play caller on two-point conversions.
He's never got one. He hasn't got one.
A play that is over 50% in college football.
And the Hawks haven't got one since Brian Ferentz has been the O coordinator. Is that what you're telling me?
He's 0 for 8, and I think as a whole, going back to the Greg Davis era, they're 0 for the last 10.
You know what? I didn't realize that.
He hasn't figured it out. So that's as good of a play call, I think, as they
and
come up
they
with.
They worked on that all week, according to the Hawkeye newspaper men who were in Madison in the press conferences.
It was a play that was set up to work. Play call's fine.
Yeah.
All right. Execution wasn't there. Whatever.
Sargent gets a chip, and Stanley scores. But here's the thing.
But it doesn't matter.
Because Wisconsin was going to get the ball.
They're
going to
get the football with 2 minutes and 50 seconds left, and they're going to run it right at Iowa, and Iowa couldn't stop them. And the game's over regardless.
Right.
Wisconsin kicks a field goal and it's game over. That doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. And this, maybe it's a cop-out, but the game individually really doesn't matter. I think this is a much bigger issue with Iowa football. And they're fine. This is a fine team. And they very well could come out and beat Minnesota. I don't think they will, but they could. And they go 9-3 and they're...
But the season's come down to playing spoiler for the Gophers,
which
nobody thought that this was going to be the case.
And at 9-3 seasons, especially with the schedule that they have, that's not anything to scoff at.
But when you go back into what could have been,
yes,
creeps in.
And big picture, this team is talented enough. again, as they were last season, that team was more talented than an 8-4 regular season team. Mm-hmm. They should have done more.
And this team, well, I was going to say,
the West was there for the taking last year, and they weren't able to do that.
It was there for the taking this year.
This year, the opportunity again was there, yeah. And they're not going to do that. And what are the reasons for that? They can't run the football.
No. Nope.
Last year was running
backs. Did you like Torin Young this week? I thought he was the best of the trio.
And he disappeared. Didn't see him again.
Yeah.
Had a great drive. Stanley drops the football. Sorry. Madison Kidd, you're playing well, but we're not going to see you anymore. Uh-huh. Oh, this is going to be a four-quarter slugfest game. And the finally time they actually move the football consistently is when they go up-tempo. Instead of just reacting to what's happening in the game, come up with something schematically. Come up with a game plan that makes sense. Not just, we're going to go out there and execute and try to do our thing. Come up with something that might actually work, something that hasn't worked now for 8 years against Wisconsin. Do something different. Do something different against Penn State and Michigan instead of, well, hopefully we'll be in this in the fourth quarter and we can make a play. Because he haven't been able to make a play three different times this year in the fourth quarter, and he lost to Penn State, Michigan, and Wisconsin.
Do you know, I think this season's going to hurt worse, Trent, and this is going to sound like a knock on Nate Stanley, and maybe in a way it kind of is. He's a three-year starter, senior quarterback. And when you get there's not many guys that fall into that category ever in college football. Mm-hmm. And when you have one, the thought of a special season goes along with it. And like you say, they still could be 9-3, and for most fan bases, that is a special season. But it's not flashy when you watch Nate Stanley. Like, I was of the belief that it's a no doubt about it that Nate Stanley's going to have an opportunity to play on Sunday. He's going to get drafted, but he's not going to get drafted until the sixth or the seventh round. And I'd be surprised if he ever throws a ball in the NFL. He just doesn't have it. But when you have a 3 year starter in a senior year with a good team coming back, and as we found out, the best receivers, not tight ends, but wide receivers group that they've had in a long, long time, you expect more.
You have to have that breakthrough moment. And for the Iowa fan base, that they can handle 8-4s and 7-5 years. As long as every 3-4 years you have those breakthrough years, they're not coming. And 2015 is the only breakthrough year now that they've had in a decade. You have to go back to 2009. Since the last time that they had a special team outside of that blip in the radar, 2015. And that's where frustration starts to go.
And they've had good quarterbacks between now and then. It's usually, that the quarterback takes a program as far as he can take it, right? Because of his play. They've had decent quarterbacks. There's something missing. I agree with you.
I think it's the running game. And I think
it's the offensive line maybe this year, too.
The offensive line this year, the running backs the year before, 2017, there was injuries to the tackle position. There's always something. But as college football continues to evolve, and you look at the numbers,
they need
Iowa,
a mobile quarterback. Trent is what they need, in my opinion.
Very well could be the case. I think you need to do something schematically. The zone blocking scheme, it doesn't work. When's the last time Iowa ran the football effectively throughout the course of the year? They did it in 2015. Mm-hmm. Had 2,000-yard rushers.
Wadley?
But even Wadley, you look at the numbers, it was him in space. Mm-hmm. It wasn't him between the tackles.
That's true.
It was him in space. That's what you're able to do it. You got to go back to Sean Green. This team can't average 4.3 yards a carry anymore. That's pretty simple. Is Kirk Ferentz willing to adapt? And most people on the surface, I think, would say no. But remember how different this guy is.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, he has adapted. He has evolved. But this is his baby. And maybe this
he
is
needs
the most,
a mobile quarterback.
This is the most difficult part to go along with it, is his zone blocking scheme. This is what you want to do. Well, you can do zone blocking concepts and what he knows with a power spread. You can do these things. We see it across college football. Look to your neighbors to the north. That is exactly what they do. That is a power team built with spread concepts. And you can go out there and you can knock people around, but they continually think this is the only way that you can win at Iowa. I don't think that's the case.
All right, still Iowa State. Breece Hall, another eye-opening performance out of him. He's so good.
Yes.
And they've got something there. There's no question in my mind they have something there, and he's just going to be a special player. Brock Purdy's developed a bad habit of throwing everything off his back foot. Having said that, the numbers speak for themselves. Another terrific game out of Brock Purdy. I think Campbell, look, it's there's no doubt in my mind that he did the right thing when he tried to win the game. Look, folks, for you naysayers out there that think that they should have continued to play, how many times have we reconvened on a Monday and we've brought up whoever over the years the kicker is for Iowa State? You can't trust an Iowa State kicker. You've never been able to. You play to win the football game at that point. Kohler was wide open.
He was.
Kohler was wide open. And look, he didn't see him. He went to Petway. Petway, the ball was perfectly thrown. The DB got there too early.
He got bumped into.
Yeah, they're going to throw a flag at that point? Of course they're not. They're just not going to do it. It was the right call. Good for them for doing it. The comeback was unbelievable, outscoring Oklahoma 20-0 in the fourth quarter, for crying out loud. Thought they were going to pull it off, Trent, and I gave them little chance going in for this. Oklahoma, they got beat by K-State. Mm-hmm. They're coming off a bye. They know that they're ninth ranked in the playoff rankings. They're going to try and impress. I called it a beauty contest on Friday. That's what I expected to see. Iowa State had other plans.
At 42-21, it felt that way. Here we go. Iowa State will probably score again. It'll be right around that 14 number, right where the point spread was. They just kept coming. And the ability of Oklahoma to run the football early, that was the game plan I expected out of them. But the perseverance of this Iowa State team. But I think we have to go to this angle that continues to be out there from Cyclone fans, that the refs were out there to get us, that the fix is in from the Big 12. Now, it doesn't help when your athletic director stands at a podium and feeds that exact line to your fan base, as happened, what was that, four or 5 years
State,
ago?
Yeah.
Oklahoma State game. Mm-hmm. That doesn't help things
no,
at all.
No, accused the game of being fixed. He did.
The game was fixed. And if you think the same thing here, because Oklahoma, this is the Big 12's only chance to get in the playoff and the fix was in. Well, you just said it. If Brock Purdy makes a throw, there's nothing the refs could have done.
No.
If he throws the football to Charlie.
They're not going to take the Kohler 2-point conversion off.
If the fix was really in, it never gets to 42-41. There's holding calls.
Yeah, but it's, you know what, we're painting with a pretty broad brush. I don't think that's fair. There's certainly a percentage of Iowa State fans out there that truly believe that.
Yes.
And are expecting another, what do they call it, apology letter. That look, if they got bad calls against them, of course they have. They absolutely have.
Everybody does.
Everybody does. They just seem maybe a little bit more egregious, but the fact that It's what are the, is it an email? Is there somebody that shows up in the locker room prior to the game and gives the officials their marching order how they want the game to be fixed this week?
Right.
I mean, think about it, folks. No. Think about it. What could have been? Here's the thing. Here's my biggest takeaway from Iowa State. Yeah, they're 5-4. But you know what? You're in every one of those four games. It has clearly changed in Ames. It has clearly changed. The historical season that was not promised, but certainly talked about, those people that were talking about this being potentially a historical season, they were right.
Mm-hmm.
They were absolutely right.
This team is talented enough
to
have that season.
No
it's
question.
Not there. You have four losses.
Right.
That's not going to change.
Nope.
That will always be there.
You
but
are
this team,
what your record says you are.
Yes.
Bill
Parcells, I think, was the one that came up with that one, and it's absolutely true. This team is talented enough to be better than what the record says they are, and this is a better team than just another 5-4 football team. Do they go 8-4? Get a bowl win, get to 9 wins, first time since the 2000 team?
It's out
on
there.
The table.
It's out there for sure. I think they'll beat Texas this week. Are they, 5 or 6 point
favorites? 6 point favorites.
Unbelievable. I think they'll beat Texas this week. I never thought that they would beat Texas when the schedule came out. I didn't think they'd play close to Oklahoma after they beat Oklahoma the last time they were in Norman with Kyle Kemp. I didn't see that. But this is different in Iowa State. It's a different environment there. This guy Campbell, there's a reason, and I know that this bothers you, that when a coaching vacancy comes up, his name gets out there all the time, regardless of the job. That's a badge of honor. Run with that.
PJ Fleck has that going on.
Yes,
right now.
Yes, he does.
Gopher fans, eat it up.
How about that win, by the way, for Minnesota?
Oh, it was a dominating performance
until
the, first
the
half.
Very end. And Trent, I thought that they were going to give the game away because Penn State starting to come on a little bit there. I thought Minnesota had some chances to really put it away. They didn't. They let them hang around, but the interception goes their way. And good for their fan base for. And I don't care if they were students, kids, grown men and women coming out of the stands and being a part of that at the bank. That was unbelievable.
That is the way that it should be. And I've told you before where I grew up. I know many Minnesota fans. Many of my cousins went to the U. I have a lot of back and forth. For me, this is the biggest rival as an Iowa fan is Minnesota. Bronze pig and everything that goes along with it. And it's because I know so many Minnesota people that are either graduates or they're just fans of the Gophers. And because of that, I get a little annoyed at times, and I like to poke the bear and make some fun of Minnesota. But honestly, I was so happy for that fan base afterwards.
Yeah, me too.
And the people that went through there. And I've made jokes about Minnesota fans, and they're not really Minnesota fans. They're just people that happen to show up because it's a professional sports town.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a segment of the fan base. Going back to here to Des Moines, last year in March in the NCAA tournament. I wondered, you know, how many Gopher fans really showed up. They showed up in a big way. I was incredibly impressed with the Gopher fans.
I remember one of the talkers that we started with is my drive in from Ankeny and seeing one after another state of Minnesota license plate going past me or me passing them and making my way downtown.
They
showed up.
They showed up in a big way, and I hope that this team does get to a Rose Bowl. I hope they make it there for the first time since the 1960s. And I hope that the fan base does show up, though.
I think they will.
I think that they will.
That's the Rose Bowl
But they've had so many excuses throughout the years for bowl games. You know what? It was a disappointing end of the season, so they don't travel. I remember on our way to Miami one year for an Iowa Orange Bowl, we stopped in Nashville for the night. It was the night before Minnesota played Arkansas.
Was that when? Oh, Minnesota played Arkansas.
Yeah, this would have been the 2002 season for Iowa. Stopped there. Ran into a couple Gopher fans, and I remember there was a big story in the Star Tribune that week that they had returned of their allotment of 10,000. They returned like 8,500 of the tickets, and there are all the excuses and on and on and on. And that's what Minnesota fans had done.
But
no more excuses.
To their defense, two out of their last three bowl games, you know where they've been?
Well, yeah.
The Quick Lane Bowl.
Sure.
Rose Bowl's a little bit more luster than the Quick Lane Bowl.
It is, and we've seen this in the past with Wisconsin in 1993, the first time they got there. And, of course, Iowa in 81, and the first time that they got there, and the way that they
traveled. Crazy in 2015 when we were there.
Will it be for the Gophers? I don't think it's going to be 50, 60,000 like we see now the Hawks and Badgers. But if there's a good 35, 40,000, I will tip my ball cap, and I hope that's the case. Minnesota, you've been waiting a long time.
Yeah,
I have
sure.
never seen a program like this. The way they played in the first half of that game was impressive. Those wide receivers are awesome. Mm. This is a fun football team to watch. They are. I don't have to enjoy Phil Fleck, and I don't. I don't like his shtick. I don't like his personality. He's not for me. But guess what? I'm not a Gopher fan.
Did you see him body surf in the locker room when he came running in?
Yes.
Head of steam and a big leap. And
they're eating it up there.
They should be, man. They should be. They're unbeaten, and they got three games left on the schedule. Iowa this week, and I don't know. I don't know how you see this game. I mean, Iowa's got a chance to play spoiled. Here's how I see the game as we sit here on Monday. If Minnesota comes out and punches Iowa right in the mouth, I don't think they get up off the mat. Now, conversely, if Iowa's in this football game and they get a little bit of confidence, I think the Gophers are going to get a stern, stern test. But if it's the other way around and the Gophers come out and play like they did against Penn State in
Tyler
the first
Johnson,
round.
60-yard touchdown.
Unbelievable.
Early.
Bateman's better, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, they're both in the three-headed running. Here's the other thing. Tanner Morgan, Trent, I compare him to Jack Cohn.
You see what I did there? Elite.
I did. That was a Phil Fleck move on your part. Tanner Morgan, I thought, Hawks are going to see the same quarterback 2 weeks in a row. No. Tanner Morgan this past week.
That was the best we've ever seen of Tanner Morgan.
By a mile.
Does
what
that
was
happen
he?
Again? He was, what, 18 to 20?
18 to 20, yes. Now, I don't think he's going to be that
good.
That's
not the same guy we've seen throughout this season.
No, but
and
Penn
to our
State's
buddy,
got a defense
there. That likes to rib me on Twitter about his Gophers.
Yeah, our Gophers, excuse me.
I also had them win in the division this year.
You did?
I had them at 6-3, same as Iowa. 6-3 in league play. Iowa with the tiebreaker.
All right.
They'll have the tiebreaker after this week. Don't think it's going to matter.
Well, if indeed the tiebreaker goes Iowa's way, and you're assuming that at this point. Minnesota, they're... That's a good defense that they beat this week. Penn State can play some defense.
Up and down the field.
Yes.
And Sean Clifford looked awful. Just some terrible, terrible reads. Winfield early in the game, he's making plays all over the
place.
And yet in the end, Gophers almost gave that one away.
They tried. I agree with you.
Of course, there was one other college game this weekend. You want to hit it?
The big one, the 2-3 in the playoff rankings. Trent, look, it was as entertaining as all get out. Joe Burrow, I think, is the first overall pick in the draft. I don't think it's Tua. Here's my thing. I think Alabama is still alive for two reasons. I think the touchdown they scored late is going to not put them over the edge.
It's
going
to help?
It doesn't look as bad.
It's not a bad theory. I mean... You mentioned that when we came in today, too, and I hadn't thought of it.
I think it makes him look a little bit better.
Yeah.
Tua's hurt. Tua had a wide-open path to the end zone when they were in the red zone, and he runs that ball 99 out of 100 times.
Right. Yes.
He was hurt. He couldn't do it. I don't want to take anything away from Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow was unbelievable in that football game. It was... the running game, both of the 22s in that game were phenomenal. Both running backs played their you-know-whats off. They played some defense in that game. Good for LSU finally getting over the hump. I know we got Bama coming up here in 35 minutes, and he's probably not going to be saying the good for LSU like we are. But watching Edwards-Hilaire, right? He's got a hyphenated name. Clyde Edwards-Hilaire. He's Darren Sproles to me. That kind of running game.
Compact, big,
thick. They couldn't get him on the ground. And Najee Harris for Alabama was unbelievable. And then Smith and Judy and Ruggs and Chase and Jefferson on the other side for LSU. This was a hell of a football game. Really was. Both of them. I mean, what didn't live up to expectations? We got the early window, was unbelievable,
yes,
Penn State, Minnesota. The midday window, Iowa, Wisconsin, Alabama, and LSU, both of them were terrific football games. I have not seen ratings on Oklahoma, Iowa State late.
Got to be huge.
There was nothing else going on. Clemson was pounding the crap out of NC State at that point. How many people, other than me, were on the SEC Network as their backup game watching Kentucky and Tennessee? I told you Kentucky's my, what did we call that? My, guilty pleasure.
Oh, your guilty pleasure
My guilty pleasure team is Kentucky. I think it was the uniforms. I think it's the uniform. But I watched that. But point being, Trent, it was by far the best game in prime time, and it was a hell of a finish. I want to see the peak numbers, television numbers of that one, because I got to think they got to be huge, don't you?
Oh, I'm right there with you. They're, you're right. There was nothing else on. I was even flipping back and forth with a little college basketball. I was watching the Gophers in Oklahoma and Purdue, Texas, as I was flipping around there, because outside of Iowa State, Oklahoma, there was nothing else football-wise to whet the appetite at all. So it was college hoops for me in the back and forth. What a night it was, and what a weekend of football.
No doubt about it. The NFL yesterday was good.
It was.
I mean, the Chiefs getting beat the way they got beat, my God, that was unbelievable. You just wonder about this Chiefs team. Might they be of the three? We thought that there was going to be all four of our teams are. Our four of our, air quote, local teams have a big, big chance to go a long way in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Your Bears?
Nope.
Okay.
You said that. I never did.
No, but your Bears, I was going to say, had a decent weekend. They beat the Lions without Matthew Stafford.
Trubisky was okay. Took some shots up the field. Finally.
He did. His final 30 minutes were, you know, maybe his best half of the season.
Yes.
Minnesota going in last night and beating the Cowboys, and Kirk Cousins, at least for a week, shutting up the fan base that he can't win a primetime game.
Kyle Rudolph hitting the fountain
of
youth.
How about that?
Him and Ponce de Leon hanging out.
Yeah, what a game
that
he had yesterday.
How about the play on the two-point conversion going up?
Both of them.
Unbelievable.
He was terrific. The weather at Lambeau Field. Oh, I love football in the snow.
Yep.
Here's the thing. Maybe my biggest takeaway. Where did this quarterback come for Carolina?
Kyle Allen.
Yeah. I mean, Trent, he's good.
He looks solid.
He is good.
Remember a couple weeks ago we had our Packers guy Dave Sinekin on, and he had a poll up at the head cheese asking, who's the MVP of the first half? And Aaron Jones was winning it over Aaron Rodgers, and I was joking.
Mm-hmm.
Now maybe I'm thinking a little bit more.
Did you hear Aaron Rodgers after the game saying this should be the MVP of the league?
Yeah. Lamar Jackson might have something to say about that.
That run yesterday was unbelievable.
A little spin move.
You know, just real quick on the Ravens, because you and I do our picks for what they're worth, and this year they're not worth a blank.
Hey, I'm still winning
money. Yeah, okay, speak for myself.
I went 1-4 this week, though.
Did you? So my 2-3 is going to win the week? That's
pathetic.
You got
the T-Box this week. That's be prepared
pathetic.
For Friday.
So a losing week, and I get by you. But I was going to pick the Ravens, but I came in and my sheet said the Ravens over Cincinnati. Then I got to thinking, you know what, the Ravens, can you really pick them? They had the biggest win in franchise history since that prayer in Denver in the playoffs that propelled them to the Super Bowl, and they would win in Ray Lewis's last game.
It's a divisional game. Cincinnati's played them well.
They're terrible, but...
Yep.
So I'm going to
coming off a bye for Cincy. I was
precisely.
Yeah.
I think Baltimore will win, but it's going to be ugly. Trent, they kicked the crap out of them. To me, that tells me more about not just Lamar Jackson. This team's for real.
You ready to put Baltimore ahead of New England going to the AFC playoffs?
Now, listen to for a second. If you would go back and rewatch our program that we do Inside the Numbers on MediaCom every week. I've already done that.
I know you have them in your power numbers now. I'm speaking of January.
Okay. Where's the game played?
In the Northeast. In New England.
The...
In Baltimore?
I like him in Baltimore.
Okay.
I like him in Baltimore.
We've gone down this path but many you know times what? In We're, the past, we trying have. To throw dirt on New England.
But by the go back to the end of September, and it was we had already anointed them. It was a coronation. I planned the parade route because the Patriots are going back. I'm not so sure.
And I don't think you can throw the Chiefs in that mix. I think it's a conversation with now. Would you throw Houston ahead of the Chiefs?
They play Baltimore this week. How big is that game?
Love that.
Would I throw Houston at this point? No. I think that that would...
We got to see him without Watt.
Yes. Yes.
I'm with you there.
We're going to have Dylan Monsell join the program next. We will more on Xavier Foster's decision. If you haven't heard, he's going to go to Iowa State. He committed this morning. We'll take a look back at Oklahoma and Iowa State and ahead to Texas and Iowa State. Dylan Monsell joins the program next. But before we do that, let's try and put another $1,000 in somebody's bull bank account. Simply text the keyword car to 200-200 right now. That's car to 200-200.
You'll get a confirmation text and info. Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest.
Dylan Monts, Ames Tribune, joins the program next. Trent and I until noon. Des Moines Sports Station, 1460.
Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
I'm Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO, 11 o'clock hour. Bama Bob will lead it off. Scott Jockerman from The Athletic will join the program as we will recap Wisconsin, Iowa, and take a look ahead to Minnesota, Iowa this coming week. Hawks tonight, you said 7 o'clock on 219 versus DePaul, Trent?
That's what it is. The Gavitt Games, the Big East, Big Ten Challenge, if you will. DePaul improving. And Charlie Moore, remember that recruiting story?
I do
story?
Remember that, yes.
As Iowa was heavily involved with the diminutive point
that.
Guard.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he ends up at Cal, then transfers to Kansas. Doesn't play much last year as he got a waiver. Then gets another waiver, and he is eligible at DePaul. Three schools, 3 years. The dude can score, and Connor McCaffrey and company have their hands full tonight.
Dylan Monts is back from Norman. He will be soon listening into Matt Campbell's teleconference, so we'll get him out of there before that. Dylan, good to have you on, as always. Let's start basketball first, and I guess the basketball we're going to start with you is Xavier Foster is a Cyclone. He made his decision known this morning. Apparently, he's got a couple of strong relationships with a couple of guys on that roster. Not sure who exactly they are, but that was one of the reasons he alluded to as to what went into his decision. But Xavier Foster is a Cyclone, a really good get for Steve Prohm, an in-state guy going to Iowa State.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was going to be a good get either way, whether Iowa got him, whether Iowa State got him. And this recruitment's been really interesting from the get-go. Obviously, he was a name back when he was 14 years old. People started talking about him as a Division I prospect. But yeah, I think you mentioned it there. He cited relationships with Tyrese Halliburton, with George Condit. I know his mother also mentioned that some of the recent NBA players that Iowa State's been able to produce might have played a factor as well, but it is a big get, literally. He could be playing alongside Condit next year as one of those 7 feet rim protectors. Can score the ball a little bit too, and a nice get, and important for Iowa State too to have another in-state kid there. And to get one as highly rated as him and with as much potential as him is big for the program.
Certainly fits in well, too. Graduation coming up this year. Michael Jacobson, he'll depart. He can step into that role, help out on the defensive end. And the recruiting class as a whole shaping up to be very good. Dudley Blackwell in there, Jade Walker, and Darlington Dubar. What a name there. But good recruiting class, though. I saw, 14th in the country. Good group coming in for the Cyclones.
Yeah, and the last two, Dubar and Foster, obviously have come within the last 10 days or so. So really kind of picking up steam there. With some of the defections Iowa State's had with Luke Anderson, with Mercedes Leach, and like you mentioned, with the graduation of Michael Jacobson coming up, important to reload early, get some guys in there. Maybe later on you get a mid-year guy to sit out for a semester, but the diligence on the recruiting trail is always important, specifically, when Iowa State has had to turn over its roster in the last couple of years, and Foster can be kind of maybe a cornerstone to to that turnover this time.
Well, let's move to football, and boy, just another one, another close one that got away from them. I think they made the right decision. I'll argue that till the cows come home, that they should have gone for two. They did. It was there. Kohler was open. Purdy didn't see him. That happens, and there was clearly contact, but it's also most of the time going to happen regardless of who it's going against. This isn't an Iowa State thing. That's not going to get called on Petway. Here's where I want to start with you, though, and I don't think it was just me. The country didn't see Chase Allen's touchdown because Fox was in commercial when Iowa State scored early in the fourth quarter. Was it a nice play, Dylan? Because we didn't see it.
Yeah, that's what I heard. There was quite an uproar on Twitter. I couldn't believe it. I saw in the minutes afterward that people were like, what happened, or just come back, and all of a sudden Iowa State has a touchdown. But yeah, he looked athletic. His hair was falling out of the back of his helmet when he was running down the field, so all that was good. But yeah, kind of a bizarre broadcasting gaffe there.
Yeah, that's, I thought it was me. I thought, because I was into the pop pretty good at that point, I'll be honest. And I thought, holy mackerel, better put a slug in the jug, and I'm glad it wasn't just me. But there's so much to go. Let's start with Breece Hall, Dylan. This guy just continues. Like, they were really excited about him, and you guys being the Iowa State media thought there would be. Well, you weren't sure when he was going to take the reins as the number one running back on the team, but you were pretty sure at some point he would. Man, oh man, is he proving everybody right that covers this team, men and women alike. Breece Hall is the real deal.
Yeah, I was kind of getting worried about my bold prediction before the year. I said Breece Hall by the middle of the year was going to take over as the guy. The first couple games, and even getting their game 4 or 5, I started to wonder if I was going to look a little bit like a fool. But I think the last several weeks, even in the game against Oklahoma State where he got 18 touches and didn't quite feel like he got enough opportunities maybe in that game, he still was able to produce there, and certainly against Oklahoma this past weekend, spinning in and out of tackles, running over guys, showing bursts of speed, finding the lanes. And I think that's maybe one of the biggest assets that he has, is he, once he decides or a lane opens up, he really kind of attacks it and doesn't hesitate, and that's kind of what you need. And that was important too, because as Iowa State tried to find its way a little bit offensively, it could turn to the running game a little bit to just kind of catch their breath a little bit, get into a rhythm, and then open things up for Purdy as well. So really impressive day by him, and a few nice carries from Johnny Lang too, which is nice to have that compliment.
We talked so much about Mike Rose and his importance out of that linebacker group. Marcel Spears.
Oh, my God.
He was all over the place again. One of the, I don't know, he's not going to go down, I don't think, and Laura is a great Iowa State defender, but maybe he should. That guy's been good. He's been good for a long time.
Yep.
Yeah, he's as consistent probably as anybody they have on the defense. Just his run fits are really solid. As Iowa State kind of struggled with missed tackles, against Oklahoma, he really isn't one of those guys that consistently misses. He'll usually go up and make the play. And there's been some turnover, obviously, at the linebacker spot the last couple of years and even this season. When you talk about Mike Rose and Orion Vance bouncing back and forth, Bobby McMillan in the group, Willie Harvey was kind of the rock over there last year at Sam linebacker, but Marcel Spears the last 3 years, as Iowa State has kind of had this resurgent defensive effort, has been the constant. And it's going to be interesting to see next year what they do to replace him, because I think he has been rock solid for him.
I thought played a good game, and Trent, you're right on the money. I thought he was the best Cyclone on the field, offense or defense, and Breece Hall played really good, and so did Brock Purdy, but Marcel Spears just jumped out to me. So did Tavon Kyle a little bit, Dylan. Here's a freshman who's, I think he's really starting to, is he a redshirt? I guess I don't know, but Kyle, he's still in his freshman year of eligibility. That much I do know. I thought old number 10, that light bulb's starting to go on a little bit.
Yeah, and I think even going back to the Texas Tech game, he came in and gave some nice reps and has been getting back into the lineup a little bit more. And he actually, I don't know if anybody saw it, and I didn't until later on, he actually got the start over Datron Young at cornerback. So kind of an interesting little tweak to the lineup there, because at one point in the year, he wasn't even on the depth chart. I think he had maybe started the year, had gotten taken off after a couple weeks, but still found his way on at times, and then was put back on the depth chart recently, and then got the start on Saturday. So really impressive efforts from him, certainly against wide receivers of Oklahoma's caliber that can kind of make people, lower their heads a little bit in disappointment. But, I thought some nice plays for him because you're right, he did show up.
Tight end position, 6 grabs, 3 touchdowns. Saner scores for the first time in his career in this group.
Boy, he was excited too, wasn't he?
Oh, he should have been. He was wide open in there. It was great to see this group going forward. You know, the offensive line next year is going to have to be replaced for the most part, mm-hmm. but that tight end group, certainly a good building block going forward.
That's why I think it is so important to see what they're doing right now because of what they're going to have to replace on the line next year. And you'll have pieces coming back like Trevor Downing, like Colin Newell, like Joey Ramos, who will step into the lineup. But with as much turnover as there's going to be there, having guys like the tight ends who are not only athletic and kind of do all the different facets of offensive execution that the coaching staff wants, but they're all really smart guys too. So I think having those kinds of resources plus Brock Purdy in the backfield, it only adds to maybe not skipping as much of a beat with whatever new offensive line group is going to come in. But really interesting. I don't know if there's ever been 3 touchdown catches by an Iowa State tight end with all 3 coming to different guys. I have to go back and look at that, but really interesting how they spread the ball around.
I would find that hard to believe, Dylan. I think you could probably save your time on that one because
right.
I think
right.
that would have to be. Anything on Eisworth after the game? Look, he gutted it out. It's clear that he's not going to be 100% until after the season. We've been talking about that for weeks now, and I haven't seen anything change my mind. There was one play again. He went, and to no fault of his own, he only has one arm. But anything after the game? Did he come through okay in advance of Texas? Did you hear anything there?
Yeah, really not much after the game. Hopefully, you can maybe get some sort of update from Matt Campbell today. But yeah, he had the one time I really saw him show up was that interception that he could have had, which he maybe was going to be able to return if he had hauled it in. But yeah, he doesn't look maybe quite to the level that he was last year, early this year before he started to really get dinged up with his shoulder. So I think it is a thing where he's just going to have to gut it out and try to at least if he's going to make contact, avoid it with that shoulder. Just go with the one arm and see if it'll work.
Dylan Montz, Ames Tribune, amestrib.com. Dylan, thank you. We will preview Texas Iowa State with you on Friday morning. Thank you, Dylan Montz. Have a good week.
Yeah, you too, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. Dylan Montz from the Ames Tribune as we take a look back at Oklahoma and Iowa State, another one of those what might have been.
Been a lot of those this year for the
Cyclones.
Four
of them.
Every
single one of them.
Make one more play, one more stop, whatever it is.
How about the Baylor kicker kicking a 51-yarder again this week?
That guy stinks, too. I mean, let's be honest.
His first kick he ever made was against Iowa State to win the football game.
And he just pounded that thing through. Baylor.
You know what? He pounded that thing through. Yeah, it wasn't a fluke, Trent.
No.
He had room to spare. I don't know how they're doing it. I don't get it.
Is this the clubbing we're waiting for this week, though?
Well, I thought it was going to be until I saw Iowa State come roaring back on Oklahoma.
You got to be able to score. Can this team? Well, I think anybody can score against Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. That defense is better, but Alex Grinch has got a lot of work still in front of him.
Yeah, he does. Boy, CeeDee Lamb's fun to watch, isn't he? My
that
God.
Touchdown, cutting through back through everybody.
Unbelievable.
Stud. They ran the football.
Yeah, they did.
But the defense still. I mean, Oklahoma against LSU?
No.
LSU put 70 on the board.
I know.
It's probably 70-42.
What game do you want to see? I want to see LSU-Ohio State. That's time for that right now. Give me that all day long.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Alabama's a great story.
You want to see Clemson in there?
Do I want to see them in there?
Wait, would you prefer Clemson around the table or they take a loss and are left out? What's your preference?
And so who would be the other two schools?
No, leave them alone.
Okay. Do I want to see No.
I'm kind of with you. I'm kind of over it. Same with Alabama. I know they're really talented. Alabama's... I know Tua's fun to play. How about the new nickname for Tua?
What is it?
Tua Turn It Over?
Ooh.
That would make me chuckle.
Don't play that card with Bama.
I'll leave that one away.
To talk to
he's probably grumpy.
Yeah, I texted him a couple of times yesterday and nothing.
No.
Now, he does have an issue in the family.
Yeah.
His daughter blew out her knee again. And probably that had something to do with it. But, yeah, he's going to be grumpy. Anyways, we'll come back, finish up the hour. Miller and Condon until noon. Des Moines Sports Station, 14th.
Get hope. HopeLawFirm.com.
Hawkeyes, Cyclones, Panthers, and Bulldogs. Yeah, we got that covered. This is Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
All right, Miller and Condon, final couple of minutes here. The first hour of the program. Bama Bob kicks it off in the 11 o'clock hour. Scott Dockerman, 11:30. Iowa and Iowa State's final home game kickoff times have been announced. Trent Condon, and they are both right on top of each other. 11 o'clock, Illinois and Iowa Kinnick. 11 o'clock, Kansas, Iowa State at Jack Trice, both at 11, as Alex Halstead reminds us on Twitter. No night game at Jack Trice Stadium in the 2019 season.
No night game. There. So will that be alleviated when we're getting into the spring and summer? We're trying to start to get to start times when Oklahoma comes to town next year.
Perhaps.
Maybe that'll be one of those choices. You know, well, Iowa State's played well against Oklahoma. Let's tee it up with one of our preseason picks here. And put that one in prime time.
They've already scheduled a Thursday game, right?
Yeah, Kansas State.
Kansas State is a Thursday, late October.
You have promised that you're going to be there.
I'll go with you. I'm in. Count me in.
He says that now.
No. Count me in. Well, is there a World Series game that night, too?
Let's hope not.
We shall see. All right, so we're going to hear from Bama Bob. We're also going to hear from Scott Dockerman. Look forward to both of those gentlemen. I want to save a couple of minutes just to recognize the day that we're it's taking place today. Of course, Veterans Day. It's Remembrance Day, and one of the biggest differences between the two countries, and there are very few. I mean, the other country being Canada.
Yes, right. Your home,
my home, right? Why don't you wear poppies here? I've always wondered that.
We used to. Used to be a thing. Absolutely.
Everyone wears a poppy in Canada, Trent.
I remember in elementary school, and I think in the middle school, that was a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Is it just the sign of the times? Things start to dissipate, move on.
Maybe.
But yeah, that was a big deal. I remember that.
It's still a big deal up in at home.
Is it?
Yeah, still. I mean, everybody wears a poppy. Mm-hmm. There was a time when I lived up there. I mean, you couldn't go to a restaurant. You could.
Sure.
The country was closed, and we called it Remembrance Day, and I love the name, Remembrance Day. Yeah, but the poppy thing, I always wondered about that, why poppies were never, and apparently they were, so thank you. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Anyways, and you know, I used to work with Bob Dyer, who fought in the Vietnam War.
Oh, okay.
He didn't like being told Happy Veterans Day.
My cousin also served, and that was something that he has said. Mm-hmm. It's not exactly a happy day,
right?
For many people,
now a lot of veterans, you know, they don't have a problem with Happy Veterans Day, mm-hmm. but Bob, when people would call into the show and Happy Veterans, he didn't like it.
I can understand it.
Anyways, the late Bob Dyer. We will come back with the 11 o'clock hour. Bama Bob will start things off. Scott Dockerman at the bottom of the hour. Mr. Monday Night going to make an appearance.
He's ready.
Drake plays tonight at 6 at Fox Sports Ohio.
You got it.
Iowa at 7 on 219 FS1. Miller and Condon, 11 o'clock hours next. It's 1460 KXNO.